That last stanza of Mary Oliver's poem is so much about what today and our worship service focuses on. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends upon it, and when the time comes to let it go, to let it go. When my father died, I found a copy of a letter that he had written to our, at that time, retired housekeeper back in 1974. My dad died in 2014. Yes, he'd saved that letter for all those years. Here is the relevant part. Dear Elizabeth, there is a right to death with dignity which every person should have, and which no government should have, and which no governmental organization can take away. Elizabeth retired because she had been diagnosed with stomach cancer. Hard as it is to discuss, I think you are wise to bring the matter up now so that you can consider it fully. My understanding is that at this time there is no official way that anything can be done. It is possible, of course, to sound out one's doctor on the matter. If he is as wise as you were, he will assure you that he won't let the pain get too great. If he is not so intelligent, he might not. It is important to ask him now. One of the things that I love, that just delights me about the people in my life, the people in my family, the people I know, is their differences. Some like to be outside and are never inside unless you lock the door on them. Others are conventional church women serving their church and their community at every turn. And oh, by the way, don't go outside unless you are marching in a social justice rally. And some liked theater and would pass up any other event to watch a play. Each of my beloved family members behaved differently in life, so naturally each of them chose to die in their own way. My dear Aunt Anne, who you've heard me mention before, was a social activist and a church lady. She was also a bridge player. She said as she came into her mid-80s, "I want to die after playing bridge." Actually, she said it with more of a southern accent because she was from Jackson, Mississippi. "I want to die after playing bridge. I want to play bridge at the end." And she did. She resided in assisted living. She was really living there, not just surviving. She'd made good friends. All of them were bridge players. And they came to play bridge with her within a day of the end of her life. My Aunt Ruth was a homemaker and loved to have family nearby. She chose to die another way. She had suffered from breast cancer for much of her last 15 years, and when she knew that her time was near, she wanted to stay at home and have pain control. Miraculously, though this was long before palliative care was common, she achieved her dream and died with her family around her, not in too much pain, not suffering more than she could tolerate. My dad was the most independent of the brothers and sisters. He always went his own way. Again, as he faced the end of his life, Alex was his name, he wanted control over the time and place of his death. As his Parkinson's worsened after his 90th birthday, he decided to take action. His health had been declining for some time, and his tremor made it hard to eat. His voice was just a whisper, and even rolling over in bed became very hard. But the final blow, the reason that he decided to take his life, was that he was falling often and harder each time. Dad's deepest fear was that he would fall, break some bone, and have to move out of his home. He worried he'd be forced into a nursing home where the staff would feel it was their duty to keep him alive no matter how much or how long he suffered. The last 8 months of his life were really hard for both of us. I think each of us wondered every day if he'd fall and if all of his plans would go awry every person's journey with Parkinson's is different. Many people live full and rich lives with Parkinson's, and that was not my dad's situation towards the end. Many of you probably know that Parkinson's is not fatal itself. What can be fatal are the complications from it, especially for older people. In the final stages of the disease, infections, pneumonia, and yes, falling often prove fatal. My dad was in the final stages. I have to introduce my dad. He was the most prepared person you would ever meet. He always had exactly what you needed with him in his car, which was basically a giant, giant purse. He carried an ice chest because you never know. He had a screwdriver in every cupboard, a backup plan for every situation. And yes, we moved to Australia for the Cuban Missile Crisis. For my teen years, he also let me know that he wanted to take charge at the end of his life as he had all of the days of his life. So as Dad's condition worsened, he decided he had taken his last fall and that he would end his life on his terms. And now it gets hard. He took 19 pain pills that he had slowly been stashing away, and he doubtless went to sleep, believing that he would indeed die peacefully. Unfortunately, because he was in such pain, he had actually become somewhat desensitized to those pills, and he woke from his intentional overdose. Who knew that pain pills are unlikely to be effective in this situation? Then he tried to slit his wrists, but due to his tremor, he failed at that too. When he had been out of touch for too long, my husband and I were so worried about him, and we went to his house to check up on him. We found him that night, despondent over his dual failures, as he saw them, and ready to do what he needed to do. Despite knowing that there would be a police investigation, Dad strongly intimated that he would shoot himself once we left. We let him know that we loved him, that we respected him, his autonomy, and his decision. And then I had to say goodbye. To stay put would have placed us at risk of murder charges. Ours is a faith of choices. Back when I first joined the UU, my first UU church, over 20 years ago now, we were given a little book called Our Chosen Faith. I actually think I may still have some copies in my office. It was written by two of the luminaries of our religion in the modern era, John Buren's and Forrest Church. This book points out many of the ways that our faith rests on choices. Reason choices, heartfelt choices, soul-filled spiritual choice, you name the flavor of choice. But for us, choice is something central to who we are. Buren's and Church chose to quote Edward Schemp, a name that most of us probably don't know, to explain this part of our faith. And frankly, I think sometimes that it is actually the whole of our faith. Schemp was a member of UU Church, and he was writing to explain why he and his son were the plaintiffs in a Supreme Court case that ultimately declared Bible reading in public schools to be unconstitutional. Schemp wrote, "Unitarian Universalism is a fierce belief in the way of freedom and reverence for the sacred dignity of each individual. Unitarian Universalism is cooperation with a universe that created us. It is a celebration of life. It is being in love with goodness and justice. It is a sense of humor about absolutes. Unitarian Universalism is faith in people, hope for tomorrow's child, confidence in a continuity that spans all time. It looks not to perfect heaven, but towards a good earth. It is respectful of the past, but not limited to it. It is trust in and growing conspiracy with change. It is spiritual responsibility for a moral tomorrow. This reading, quoted widely by the UUA, is equally applicable to the question of how we die in 2019 as it was to whether a Bible should be read in public schools in the 1960s. Let me be clear. I am talking about letting someone receive a prescription for a fatal medication when death is imminent, when doctors have declared that death will come within 6 months or less, when hospice and other alternatives are offered. The practice is regulated, controlled, their data collected by the government of the state. This is a very carefully organized thing with two doctors, waiting periods, all sorts of safeguards. I want to be equally clear that I am not talking about suicide. When an otherwise healthy person is thinking of suicide, it is time to get help. Talk with your doctor or your preacher or a suicide hotline. What I am talking about is an action an adult might choose to take when they are facing a terminal condition. I'm talking about those who are going to die anyway, are allowed to die. When people are in sound mind and failing body, they should be allowed to die when and how they choose. If your beloved wants to savor every minute of life, drawing on all the medical care and services possible, I bless them for that choice. If your beloved believes that their God calls on them to suffer as Jesus suffered, and I've been told this by people who hold that belief dear, I bless them. If your beloved wants to structure the end of life so that they will not be resuscitated in the event of a medical emergency or accept other medical treatments that normally they would accept, I bless them. If they want to live in hospice with palliative care and support our system, all the system that our can provide, I bless them. I have worked in palliative care. I bless them. And if they want to receive a medical prescription for a lethal dose of medication to speed their death legally, working with their doctors and family, I also bless them. But you know, that last medical option isn't authorized here in Virginia, nor in my home state in Maryland. Nor is it authorized in 44 other states. Rather, people who want to make that decision must make another harder decision. Will they restrict their consumption of water and food to die at a time and place of their choosing? Or will they do something else to end their life? The alternatives are difficult and risky and scary for the dying person, and I can speak from personal experience, also for their loved ones. I want to emphasize that what we are talking about should rightly be called medical assistance at the end of life. It is sometimes called assisted suicide, but that's wrong because this person has received a terminal prognosis, has two physicians confirmed that this is a reasonable decision, has confirmed that they're in sound mind, and those doctors provide the prescription. Even worse, it is sometimes called euthanasia, but it isn't that either. Because with aid in dying, the person who wants to die takes all of the initiative, including taking the medicine themselves. Euthanasia is someone else doing something to you or for you. You notice I did not tell a story about Lulu being taken to the doctor. That would have been a very different story. For pets, perhaps a fine story, but that is a different story. I am talking about a patient-directed medical practice. A law to allow medical options for the end of life for those who are dying from a terminal illness, in my opinion, must be passed in all 50 states. Of course, that must be regulated to ensure that the person taking the decision is of sound mind, confident, and unpressured in their decision. And in now 40 years of cumulative experience in the states that have this law, it has worked well in all cases. There is literally not a single complaint to the disabilities office in Oregon, which is where complaints are to be registered, other than my condition has deteriorated so far, I can't administer this myself. That is the only disability office complaint that has been registered. One of the fascinating things about the Oregon law, because that is where it was passed first, is that many who ask their doctors for the prescription don't actually use it. Instead, it's a comfort to know that they can use it if needed. About a third of those who fill the prescription don't use it. Additionally, let me say that our Unitarian Universalist world, once again, way ahead of its time, General Assembly voted in 1988 to support this regulation. Guided by our belief as Unitarian Universalists that human life has inherent dignity, which may be compromised when life is extended beyond the will or ability of a person to sustain that dignity, and believing that it is every person's inviolable right to determine in advance the course of action to be taken in the event that there is no reasonable expectation of recovery from extreme physical disability, Unitarian Universalists should inform and petition legislators to support legislation that will create legal protections for the right to die with dignity in accordance with one's own choice. 1988. There's actually no other faith in America that has come out at the national level in favor of this law. Other faiths have come out at a regional or kind of a district level. I've been working on the passage of this law in Maryland for 4 years, and I hope this is our year. As I testified in the House of Representatives in Maryland Friday and plan my testimony for the Senate on Tuesday, I'm optimistic. And there is a bill in Virginia this year, too. It is early days, but if you are interested, let us talk. So here we are, sitting in a room where so many of you have celebrated the lives and honored the deaths of your loved ones. And we as UUs are talking about choice once again. We are talking about respecting individuals' decisions in this very important matter. Our denomination has been talking and working on this since 1988, and it's critical that this form of free choice be given to all of us. Each of us decides for ourselves. I acknowledge that having this option reflects a privileged position in our world. And shouldn't everyone be so privileged? Some pit hospice care against this type of law. They are wrong, and that is a false dichotomy. If I am diagnosed with a fatal condition, I will most certainly call on and rely on hospice. I hope that will offer a relatively painless and supported end to my life. If it doesn't, however, I will indeed avail myself of medical aid in dying, and everyone should have that choice. Now let me tell you the end of my dad's story that I wish could have been true. My family would have been with him. He surely would not have had to shoot himself while alone, rather than to face a death that felt worse. Dad should have been able to die at his own hand, to take a prescription medication, to end his dying process once it became unbearable. That's the choice that terminally ill, mentally competent adults have a legal right to in 7 states, plus the District of Columbia: Oregon, Washington, Montana, Hawaii, Vermont, California, and New Mexico. Again, I say, it doesn't really matter what my decision would be at the end of my life, nor honestly what yours would be. What matters is that each of us, in sound mind and failing body, should be able to decide the way that we want to die when our deaths are imminent. The Maryland, and I believe ultimately Virginia law, should allow us that full range of choices at the end of life. I continue to work to pass such a law for the full range of medical options at the end of life. My hope is to live in a world where all those who are suffering and will soon die can live and breathe their last surrounded by those they love. Blessed be. Amen. And may it be so.